Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Voice of America on Tuesday, November 17th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The U.S. Embassy condemns the resurgence of political violence in the country and urges Harare to hold perpetrators accountable.
It is about economic instability, political instability that we've been witnessing since independence that has actually been the cause, the chief cause of violence in Zimbabwe.
President Mugabe is back in the country after attending the G20 summit, where he told world leaders that Africa needs a second revolution.
And Binga schools hit by dropouts as hunger bites.
Yeah, we are really suffering. There is dry areas, there is no water in some of the areas. That means even there is a threat of closing the schools.
This and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The U.S. Embassy in Harare has today noted grave concern over the report of recent incidents of politically motivated violence in the country. Acts of intimidation and inter- or intra-party political violence, the embassy said in a statement, are unacceptable in a democracy, and those responsible for instigating such violence should be brought to justice. The embassy is calling on all parties in Zimbabwe to respect the democratic principles that are set out in Zimbabwe's constitution and which will contribute to a peaceful, just and democratic society. Also raising concern is the European Union, which issued its own statement today condemning the resurgence of political violence. The National Constitutional Assembly, in its own statement, urged Harare to urgently address the issue. NCA spokesman Madok Chivasa spoke with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri about the issue.
We believe that this must not happen in a country that is democratic. There's not any need for people to use violence to solve any problem that they have. They should be able to find other better means to solve their problems than to kill each other. Then we're also quite concerned that the person who was arrested in connection with the murder then is allegedly supposed to have committed suicide in police cells. This is quite unbelievable as far as we are concerned with NCA. We don't believe that it must be possible for anyone to commit suicide whilst they are in police custody. So we believe that the police must be clear on this matter.
But ZANU-PF came out refuting reports that this was a politically motivated violence.
Yeah, obviously we cannot listen to what ZANU-PF says. It's clear that these are not honest politicians. They now want to disassociate themselves from the whole issue because obviously they are ashamed that this incident ended up with loss of life. So they are trying now to cover up and try to deny that this was not politically motivated violence. But the people who witnessed this who were in St. Mary's in Stuniza were clear that what happened was some intra-party violence of ZANU-PF members.
That was NCA spokesman Madok Chivasa in Harare. Independent political analyst Shamunorwa Madiridze says the resurgence of political violence may be a sign of how the 2018 elections will pan out.
In short, let me say it is about economic instability, political instability that we have been witnessing since independence that has actually been the cause, the chief cause of violence in Zimbabwe. You would see that violence would actually come at a time when we are going towards elections, during elections, and very soon after elections. That's where we find acts of violence. And you also find acts of violence when the economy is bad. You see our economy is now deteriorating and people are fighting for survival. People are trying to secure their future, secure their wealth, and secure their well-being.
In its statement, the U.S. Embassy is urging that those who are causing such violence should be brought to book or brought to justice. Can we see that happening?
The major challenge that we have in the Zimbabwean justice system is the selective application of the law. We have been witnessing only the wrath of the law going to those that are supporting the opposition movement or that are believed to be working with the opposition. So the selective application of the law, of which the end result is that those ZANU-PF activists, those ZANU-PF violence perpetrators, would not be brought to book, but will actually get the support maybe of the police or the state apparatus.
That was independent political analyst Chamunorwa Madiridze in Johannesburg, South Africa, speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
President Robert Mugabe returned home today after attending the G20 summit in Turkey, where he told world leaders they should not look down on developing countries or overlook them. Speaking as the African Union chairperson, Mr. Mugabe said Africa needs help from developed nations in issues to do with technology and funding in the form of loans to help the continent move students beyond primary schooling. Mr. Mugabe told world leaders, among them the U.S. President Barack Obama, that Africa needs another revolution as it still is not controlling its resources. All this as the country is preparing for a historic visit by Chinese President Xi Jinping, who's due in Harare early next month. For perspective on Mr. Mugabe's speech in Turkey, Sandra Nyaira turned to political analyst Blessing Vava.
His message was very progressive because the education and technology is the talk of town globally, and also it is the driving force in the development of any nation or any continent. As you know, that Africa has been lagging behind in terms of educational advancement and technological advancement. And his message is in sync with what is prevailing in the continent and what the continent is lacking at the moment. But however, feel that also as Africa, there's a lot that we should have done in terms of improving our education. And as a country, Zimbabwe, as you know, that our education now used to be one of the respected education in the continent and in the world. You know that Zimbabwe used to take to occupy first places in terms of the standards of education, but now it has fallen. It has fallen mainly because of misrule of President Mugabe and his government, ZANU-PF. If you look at what's happening in the universities now, the quality of the graduates that we are producing, and also that education is now a preserve for those who have money. So in a way, our education system is in a state of decay, mainly caused by the misrule of Robert Mugabe. So for him now to go and say that the West must do this, the West must do that, whereas he's been bashing the West left, right, and center that is Africa, we can do it alone. But the truth of the matter is that we have really failed to handle all these departments on our own.
Just to quote Mr. Mugabe verbatim, during his speech yesterday, he talked about Africa needing another revolution. He said, "We don't control our economy. Our natural resources are exploited by our erstwhile masters. It is that area which we must address with you," meaning the G20 leaders, most of them coming from the West. What is your take?
I think that is absolutely nonsense to say that our resources are still being controlled by the West. Most African countries got their independence way back. Zimbabwe got independence in 1980. It was up to us to make sure that we're in control of our resources. There was nothing that could stop us from reclaiming or taking our land or whatever, the means of production, if I should say. So we must not forget that most of these African leaders are the ones who have been going into bed, most of these Western countries.
Lastly, next week, a historic visit. Chinese President Xi Jinping is coming to Zimbabwe. What does that signify and what does it mean to the ordinary person in Zimbabwe?
Well, I think the visit by the Chinese leader is very significant. If you look at the historical ties that Zimbabwe and China have enjoyed since the time of the liberation struggle, even post-independence. And last year, we were told of the mega deals that were signed between Zimbabwe and China. But however, the greatest challenge that we have as citizens is that we are not clear exactly on the purpose of the visit and what is going to be discussed there, because up until now, all these deals that we have been told between Zimbabwe and China, we really do not know the nitty-gritties of what has been happening and what does it benefit the ordinary person.
That was political analyst Blessing Vava speaking to Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira.
The arrests last week of 50 opposition MDCT youths and protesting students has knocked the wind out of the sails of youth activists in the country who believe the new constitution may offer them protection. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Mishek Gondo, director of the National Association of Youth Organization, on how the youth feel following the attacks and what this means for democracy in the country.
As young people, it is sad to note that we take this as a psychological intimidation, whereby the government is trying to instill fear to the young people that they should not demand their rights. But in other instances, what we are saying is, what the government is doing is only pushing the young people to the corner to react angrily and peacefully in terms of claiming their rights. This act in terms of stopping young people or students to demonstrate will not do good to this country. But it was the same thing, because every young people, as I'm speaking right now, I work with young people at national level. Young people are not yet about it.
As you have just alluded to, Mr. Gondo, what effect, if you can elaborate further, does this have on activism?
Definitely. As I've alluded, that is enshrined in our constitution, the right to participate, the right to association, even the right to demonstrate. What the government is doing, they are trying to shrink the civic space. I don't know what they are fearing for their citizens to come out and demand the issues. And the young people, taking from the national statistics, we constitute a larger percentage in terms of the national population. And if we are demanding our rights, if the students are demanding that there is exorbitant fees in colleges, if they are demanding that they need the grants for their government, the government should not respond angrily to the demand of their children.
That was Mishek Gondo, director of the National Association of Youth Organizations, speaking to Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Binga pupils drop out of school due to hunger.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The Rwandan Senate has approved a constitutional amendment that would allow President Paul Kagame to potentially stay in office until 2034.
The head of Russia's security services said today that last month's deadly plane crash in Egypt's Sinai region was a terrorist act and that explosives were found on both the wreckage and luggage from the aircraft.
And the UN Refugee Agency is criticizing governments that are demanding refugee resettlement programs to be curbed after the discovery that one of the Paris attackers slipped into Europe in the wave of Syrian migrants escaping the country's war. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Factories may be closing down, dozens of workers losing jobs, consumers buying power at its lowest. But the Reserve Bank says the amount of money that individuals and companies are banking has gone up by 7.5% to $4.3 billion in the 9 months to September from $4 billion in January this year, due to what the central bank says is a rising confidence in the sector. The RBZ, in its monthly economic review for September released last Friday, said bank deposits were mainly from the services sector that contributed $1.003 billion, followed by financial organizations and individuals who deposited $831 million and $676 million, respectively. The report added that annual growth in total banking sector credit to the domestic economy increased to 19% in September compared to 18.8% in August. For analysis, we turn to Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Busisa Moyo and independent economic analyst Rejoice Ngwenya, who kicks off the discussion by questioning the central bank's figures.
Well, I'm not too sure whether there is a false confidence he has been given by the fact that people are rejecting South African rand in preference of the rand and in preference of the US dollar. But all the signals show that there is nothing that has changed in the way our economy is informalized. 80% of the people are unemployed in the formal sector. So those who are in the informal sector, the levels of salaries, the bulk of the individuals are very low. So I don't see how, if one's disposable income is not being increased, what can give them confidence to put money in the bank? And I think really it is important for the Reserve Bank not to necessarily give misleading information. I still feel that the basic formula, the relationship between savings and investment really has not yet been fully utilized, realized in this country. There is just so much money still sitting outside the formal banking sector.
Mr. Moyo, what's your response?
Thank you. I hear the question from Mr. Ngwenya there, but I think we need to understand that the figures that are being used are the same figures that we saw at 1.7 billion when we dollarized, or below a billion when we started in 2009. So these figures have been progressively increasing, and we have seen that happening. And there are several reasons. Remember that you've got a sector that is informal, that is cash-based. That sector, when it is informal, if the banks start to create incentives for people to deposit, money moves from the cash sector where people are buying, whether it's shops that are downtown where they are dealing in cash, they start to bank. Now, Mr. Ngwenya is right. We need to ask the question as to why are people banking. I think there are several reasons why people are banking. People are banking because when you want a loan, the bank needs you to have an account. Most companies, when we dollarize, in our business here at United Refineries, when we dollarized, we were paying cash. Now, we don't pay any worker cash. We insist that workers must go to the bank because of the risk of cash, sometimes the unavailability of notes. So people are forced to go to the bank and put money in the bank. Now, the banks have also are coming in with loans. There's a bit of money that's coming into the banking sector. And I'm sure you will know this, maybe you're not aware, but most of the money that's in Zimbabwe is being lent to individuals. So individuals are borrowing more money than companies. What that means is that individuals have to put their money in the bank to continue to access loans. So this naturally will create an interest in banking or formalization of cash deposits. That's what's happening. But also, we need to understand that bank deposits come from many sources. First of all, they come from individuals, yes, but they also come from government. They also come from FDI, where people are investing. Companies, if PPC, Portland Cement, is doing a project, they will put money in the bank while they are doing their project. That money comes from outside. You also have export. When companies are exporting, money is deposited in the bank. So there are several sources, several reasons why banking deposits could be rising. I think that's a question for further analysis. But my challenge is that Mr. Ngwenya is starting by disputing the figures to say they are wrong. But I think we need to rather look at why, what is happening, and try to explain it and understand where this money is coming from.
That was Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries President Busisa Moyo and independent economic analyst Rejoice Ngwenya.
The Ministry of Education recently reported that the number of school dropouts in the country was alarming as parents struggled to raise fees due to poverty. But in remote Binga in Matabeleland North, parents say it is not only about school fees but hunger that has forced the majority of school-going age children to pull out of school, as Patricia Mudadigwa reports.
Speaking to Studio 7 in Mchesu, which is about 80 kilometers from Binga town, parents say the current drought that the area is experiencing has forced their children to stay at home. Poverty is written all over the area, with many parents lamenting their situation. They are all looking up to the skies, hoping the heavens will break and bring them the much-needed rains. Aida Sibanda, who has two school-going children who had to travel about 7 kilometers to get to school, said she was forced to stop them from attending classes at Mcheso Primary School as they had no energy to walk back and forth and participate in classes.
Yeah, at Binga, we've got a big problem of drought. We don't have food. Children are not going to school just because of hunger. So the causes of hunger is that last year, rain was not many, so the sun heated the crops, so we didn't manage to get more food for supporting our children.
Another villager, Mrs. Muleya, told Studio 7 that because of their desperate situation, they are appealing to humanitarian organizations who hardly assist this area to intervene and save their lives.
There was a shortage of rainfall. This causes the crops to die, so children they are not going to school because of hunger. So we are asking for help so that the children will go to school to learn.
Nyoni Mwempwe told Studio 7 that besides the shortage of food, sources of water drying up in the area, with villagers being forced to share the few sources of water with their animals. Most are traveling long distances to fetch water.
The problem that we are having in Binga, most of the areas are region 5. People are suffering from hunger. And there is a dropout of school children. And we are really suffering. There is dry areas. There is no water in some of the areas. That means even there is a threat of closing the schools.
According to a report published in July 2015 by the Zimbabwe Vulnerability Assessment Committee, some 1.5 million, 16% of the rural population, who have insufficient means to meet their minimum food needs during the 2015-2016 lean season. It is highly unlikely that the cash-strapped Harare will be able to feed all hungry Zimbabweans as had been promised earlier in the year. Most rural communities in the country are looking up to non-governmental organizations for food aid. Reporting for Studio 7 in Binga, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
And in sports news, Zimbabwe's national rugby team, the Sables, today lost to Russia 55 in the second match played at the Hong Kong Cup today. Zimbabwe rugby general manager Sifiso Made says despite the team's poor showing, he is proud as most of the players participating at the tournament are mostly young and inexperienced, with some playing for the first time. Zimbabwe lost to host Hong Kong in their first match and will play Portugal in the last game on Saturday. Made says the tournament is in preparation for the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
The score was 50 to Russia and 5 to Zimbabwe. So that means we only scored one try, failed to convert that. And then, of course, we lost our first man. So they were playing with 14 men in the second half. We lost another man So obviously that was in 15, that's a no-no. So we're playing 13 against 15 against the work condition side. So we did expect a better result, but we weren't able to hold them. So 50 points for Russia and 5 for Zimbabwe was the final score.
And moving forward, which other team are you going to play and what combinations are you going to try for that match? You were saying at least you hope to walk away with one match in the bag.
Well, I haven't spoken to the coach yet. Supreme Ndenge is out there. I will be chatting to him this evening. It will all be dependent on the red cards that we receive, the injuries from the first game, if they are fit to play, and, of course, injuries from this game. At 15 rugby, it does take its toll. A lot of people come to the end of their season, they peak when they have, so maybe it's, you know, a few people have burnt out, so to say. The youngsters coming in, like I say, playing on the world stage, big stadium, maybe the nerves, the first game, hopefully now they have adjusted accordingly. So I'll only know the changes once I've spoken to the head coach, Mr. Mandenge, this evening.
Who are you playing with next?
We are playing against Portugal. It's going to just be ours. So Portugal are a good 15 side, but we do believe we'll take Portugal on. The three games were obviously initially Hong Kong, Russia, and then we play Portugal.
That was Zimbabwe Rugby General Manager Sifiso Male in Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will talk and lead discussions about youth political activism.
To join the discussion, text us on 001-202-465-0318 or also send a WhatsApp message and then we'll call you right back from our studios.
Food Loud. Kinako Music.
Maria.
Maria.
Baba Baga.
Some very touching music, some dancehall there from Killer T with Amai.
Now to recap today's top stories.
The U.S. Embassy condemns the resurgence of political violence in the country and urges Harare to hold perpetrators accountable.
President Mugabe is back in the country after attending the G20 summit where he told world leaders that Africa needs a second revolution.
And Binga School is hit by dropouts as hunger bites.
That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Nhlanganya Huye, leaving you in the capable hands of Praxidis Jeremiah in Ndebele.